From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me, and you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are glad to have Jennifer Campbell join us. Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
In person.
In person.
Wow.
Shocking, really.
Shocking. It's been, how many times did we have you virtually?
I don't keep track anymore. A lot. Yeah. So.
And now everything's almost.
Almost open.
Almost normal.
Almost.
Almost open.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there. We're getting there really close. So.
Yeah. So, well, first off, Camp Pendola.
Yes.
You're just going to have family camp.
So we're going to have family camp up at the camp. And
do
then
you have a cook yet?
I do not. I'm still looking for a cook.
It's the most important part.
It really is. I mean, I will end up having to be the cook if no one shows up, if no one, you know, feels called to that.
Good macaroni and cheese.
I don't make good mac and cheese, but I make good almost anything else. Okay. And so, I mean, I could do it. But yeah, we're still looking for a cook, looking for a few counselors for our family camp. And we, you know, it's going to be a fun summer up there. It's just 1 month that we're doing these family camps. We're also doing the day camps at the four different parishes.
Right.
So
are you getting some signups on those?
We sure are. So we've got Holy Family that's hosting our first week, and then in Citrus Heights, and then St. James in Davis is hosting our second week. Our third week is going to be up in Anderson, and then that last week at Holy Trinity. During each of those weeks, so we have the school-age campers, elementary school-age campers, will be at day camp 2 days each of those weeks on Wednesdays and Fridays. We're going to be having some teen day trips, some hiking trips.
Oh, good.
At different locations. I know. So for the week that we're in Davis, I didn't realize what a cool like hiking path they have at the UC Davis campus that
yes.
we can use.
I was just thinking about that.
So we're going to do that one of the days.
The Arboretum.
And
it's
then
about 3.75 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also has there's like a redwood.
There is one section of it. It's called the Redwood Grove.
Yeah.
And it's probably 150 yards long or so. But you would think you're up on the North Coast.
It's in shade
all the time. And because of the shade, there's almost no undergrowth. There's a few ferns, but not much undergrowth. It's right along a creek.
Perfect.
And it is 40 degrees cooler in there than the rest of the town.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do, one of those teen day trips. And then then there's another hiking trail in Davis that we're going to do. They're all listed on our website. It's on Wednesdays and Fridays that teens can sign up for those trips.
That sounds great.
I'm really excited. Anthony Ta, who is our coordinator for youth and adult ministry in our office, he is going to be helping coordinate those trips for me, as well as Miss Lizzie, who was one of our counselors, and she was assistant director and everything. She now works at St. Francis. She's going to be helping to coordinate those as well. And then Miss Sarah, who she just told me today that she'd be willing to help. So I'm really excited. We've got great staff to help with those. The teens, they won't just be going hiking. They'll be doing activities just like we would at camp, but you know, in different locations. There's so many great hiking places around in the greater Sacramento area.
Oh, there really are. And places like you know, say Davis, you know, in the flats of the Central Valley where can you hike. You know, you think of hikes as mountains and trees and stuff. And yet the nice thing about the Arboretum is that they pride themselves on the great variety of plants.
Yes.
And they actually have different sections from, like, different parts of the world.
Right.
And every plant is identified as a little,
sign.
And so you really, you know, I've walked through there with our family many, many times. And it's just, you go, oh, that's a, you know, that's a cedar. And they go, no, it's not a cedar, Dad.
That's not what the sign
says,
Dad.
That's not what the sign says. And they're smarter than you are. So.
Well, yeah. So those kind of, we can do that. And I'm, you know, so I'm just really excited about those day trips. And so, yeah, we've got a full swing of camp, but just in different locations this year. Trying to keep, you know, camp spirit alive so that next year in 2022, when we are able to like open camp up fully, we'll be still have that energy towards it.
Do you have a hike planned up in Anderson?
I don't have a hike planned up in Anderson. I'm going to keep them in the Sacramento area, but we've got around Holy. We've got some in El Dorado Hills. We've got them around Folsom Lake,
just at El Dorado Hills. You just have them right down there on Highway 50. have them hike up to the church.
Have them hike up to the church.
That would
yes.
be enough for the day, right there.
That church is all on a hill.
It is.
It's a beautiful view. But so that's that. It means picking the parishes we picked, tried to find some that are, you know, easy to access, but also ones that have some natural beauty around them that we can, you know, pull in just like we would at camp. Knowing it's going to be different, but we're going to try to make as much of it the same as we can. Family camp, keeping it very simple, allowing families just to have that opportunity up at camp to unplug and hang out and bond as a family and play games and do all of those things that, you know, when you go camping with your family, you have like mom and dad has to plan all of the meals and plan everything you're going to do. And family camping is going to give them the opportunity to just be with their kids and not have to worry about the meals and not have to worry about like, what are we going to do next? Other than like, hey, ask a counselor, like, hey, what's available? What can we do? Or what craft do we want to try? You know, that freedom of schedule, and that'll be all there at camp.
You don't have to go look for it either. Like, is there an archery range around here? Yeah, there's one 40 miles down the road.
Yeah.
No, it's right there.
It's right there. Just sign up for a time and we'll get a staff member with you. So, you know, we've got that all kind of situated.
And it's a beautiful site.
It is a beautiful sight. I mean, I'll probably be the archery instructor, just, you know, which I was talking to Katita from Safe Environment, and she had no idea that I was a certified archer and
you
instructor.
You are a certified archer? What does that mean?
It means that I've taken the safety course.
Do I need to wear body armor when I'm interviewing you?
I'm level 2, which is very impressive, but it is and it isn't. So I can actually teach
archery. Is that like
archery.
Gun safety? Mm-hmm. Like bow and arrow safety. Wow.
It's bow and arrow safety, so I can actually teach archery and teach people
so
how to teach
it. Is something you've done all your life?
It
did
is
you
not.
Learn it as a kid?
I learned it as part of this job. And
oh, wow.
I, you know, we didn't have a level 2 archer on our at camp, and so
I wouldn't have thought that was a necessity.
It is. You have to have these, you know, all these certifications. It's one of those things I had to do.
What level are you as a cook?
I'm probably a better cook than I am an archer. I learned from my mom and my grandma, mom's mom. Cooking is something that I really enjoy doing. I just don't particularly enjoy cleaning up after my cooking.
I have a daughter like that. Loves to cook. You don't want to go in the kitchen afterwards.
I do. I have learned to clean as I cook.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, you're like insurmountable pile of dishes after you're done.
Yeah.
But so like I have learned that little skill. But no, you can ask my dad. Growing up, I was like, I'll cook it, but I just don't want to have to clean.
Yeah.
So that is what it is.
So it's such a great idea. I like the notion of I think day camps. I know you're going to be in Camp Pendola when they get it back and running, but I think day camps are just a great idea that might have legs. You know, that people might say, we really want to have day camps.
I think it could. We'll have to, you know, see how it goes this summer and what we want to try to do next year. If it's something we want to, you know, try to continue. Possibilities are endless. I think that's if I've learned anything in this past 18 months, it's that possibilities are endless. You just have to have the imagination and not fear throwing it up against the wall and it bouncing back and bouncing back at you. Sometimes it sticks, sometimes it doesn't. Like I would say that, you know, the idea of parent support, which you came on parent support with me. You know, it was just an idea we threw up against the wall.
Right.
And I really do think it has traction. I think we've had some great topics and we'll continue to do that. I mean, we've already picked our June topic, which is going to come up on the 21st. We're going to be talking about transitions. Mm-hmm. I have Lizzie, who's in the campus ministry department at St. Francis High School, and Vince, who's the director at UC Davis Newman Center. And we're going to be talking about how to support your student, your child through these transitions of going to entering high school, leaving high school, entering college, leaving college, and how to like support them in their faith journey through that.
As my wife said the other day, she said, I didn't think they were all going to leave at once. It's like we've had, this is our third in 3 years high school graduation.
Oh gosh, you that know, is all like, at once.
It tears at your heart.
But I was just saying like those transitions, and it's so important to, you know, offer these opportunities. And so day camp is one of those things that we just threw the idea up against the wall and see if it had legs. And, you know, I think it will. And for sure we can try it. We'll do it this year and then see what happens in the future and see what happens like when we, you know, eventually do move the camp to Trinity Pines, if that's something we can, you know, make have legs there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just trying things out and seeing what happens.
Great. I'll be anxious to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be over there in the Redwood Grove. Good. It's so beautiful. You won't believe it. They're not like 365 feet right. tall, but they're big.
They're big, they're big. Yeah, I've seen pictures. I've driven by there, like to see parts of it. So, yeah. So that's going to be great. And I think, you know, just getting families out to different parishes and seeing the, you know, what's available in our diocese, I think will be nice too. So
you don't know the way the Lord works.
Yeah,
some mom or dad's going to drop their kid off and. Because the next door neighbor or something, you know, and they haven't been to church in 30 years and
exactly
something clicks.
I think that's true. Very much true. And I think, you know, that's something that we have as some of our campers, you know, they're not as active in their faith as, you know, maybe they would like to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming back from camp or coming back from this experience of finding God in nature can help them to really, you know, turn their whole family around. And I think that's,
absolutely.
I mean, we talk about that with like a vacation Bible school. There's camp can do a similar thing. And especially in this situation where they're at parishes, we have that opportunity. So,
yeah, that's great. You know, I've thought it would be, you know how people, they tour the Holy Land or they tour Italy and the
right.
great sites and things like that. What, you know, why don't we have like a 10-day tour of the Diocese of Sacramento? And we will visit all 102 parishes in the diocese. You know, and we'll spend the night in Redding. We'll spend the night in Wairika. We'll spend the night in Weed. We'll spend the night in Portola.
I feel like we need more than 10 days.
Well, we probably need a year. But you get on the bus and you have breakfast and then you get on the. I've never really gone on a tour, but you know, you start at St. James in Davis, and you go to Holy Rosary in Woodland.
Yeah.
You know, then you do the church in Williams, there's one in Arbuckle. Mm-hmm. And then you just go on up St. Monica's and Willows.
You
and
just got to map it out.
You go to the Olive Pit in Corning, which is kind of a shrine. You
know? Get some olives and a milkshake. Yeah, that's what the sign says.
Exactly. And then you stop, you know, then you stop for the night somewhere. And,
right.
And then, you know, and then you had, you know, you go to Happy Camp and
all
Weed
of those places.
And then all the Easterns to Susanville and all the beautiful places, Alturas.
Yeah.
And then you go to Galt and you go to Rio Vista and you go, you know, to the mm-hmm. Benicia and all it's sort of the in the valley you forget about, you know, Vallejo and Benicia and Sassoon
right.
and all those places.
But they're all part of our diocese.
Tahoe
and yeah. And I think, you know, doing those kind of things of you know, trying to experience other parishes and other churches and seeing the beauty of what the church is in our diocese is such an important thing. And I think, you know, opportunities where we can gather young people and didn't have to be young at heart, people together from those different areas can really encourage that idea of wanting to explore. And so, you know, this summer where our first in-person event is coming up at the end of this month. With Youth on a Mission.
Yeah.
So we have that coming up. We're going
to
be
June 22 to 25.
25. It's the Friday.
I think so.
I think you're right. And so that's going to be, we're going to be doing that at Trinity Pines. And it's open to, you know, high school teens from all over Northern California, actually. It's one of our NorCal right. collaborations, like On Fire, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
And this is all teens.
It's all teens. So it's high school teens. And it is a leadership training. So this is something that, you know, if you think about kids this year, they didn't get to do a lot of those leadership events or different school extracurriculars that they want for their college applications and for their resumes. This is an opportunity. This yeah. is something they can put down on a resume. Right. You've gone to a week-long leadership camp. Right. So, and so it's called Youth on a Mission. This is, I believe, our sixth year of doing it. It is, again, like I said, a collaboration between all the NorCal dioceses. And we focus on some really hands-on practical skills for young people to be able to take back to their parishes to not just, like, you know, grow their youth ministry, but to just grow ministry. We're teaching them skills for good ministry in right. parishes, not necessarily just youth ministry. So if you have someone who's not involved in the, like, traditional youth group at your parish, but they're really an older teen that's active mm-hmm. in altar server ministry or as a lector, this is an opportunity to send them to a training that's focused on ministry development, and a way to encourage young people to see that not only are they wanted in our churches, there's a place for them at the leadership table. Right. And you know, we really encourage them and try to work with their youth ministers and other leaders in the parish to make sure that they're also, like, scooting their chair over mm-hmm. and making sure there's a seat for that young person to come and sit at their table, because they have really good ideas and they have strong passion. But if we squash it because they're too young to sit at the table and send them to the kid table, they're not going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're going to get discouraged. And that's the opposite of what I think we want to do. So things like this are really great for that opportunity.
Very good. How do people sign up for that?
So they can sign up for that. If you go to norcalcatholicyouth.com, you can sign up, click onto the Youth on a Mission icon, and then you can register for that. You do need a recommendation from a leader in your parish. That could be the DRE, the youth minister, your pastor. So the young people do need that. It's $150 for the week. That's including all your meals, your where you're staying,
right.
and all the materials that they'll need for the week. You know, we are following COVID protocols for everyone's safety, so we'll be wearing masks inside. And asking for people to show proof that they, you know, that a negative test or vaccine mm-hmm. or vaccinated, just so that everyone is comfortable. If people want to wear masks the whole time, they can wear masks the whole time. that doesn't affect us. We just want people to feel safe and, also giving our young people an opportunity to gather in person and be with their friends, in this, Trinity Pines is a great location. And I know that Deacon Kevin and Chris from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, they're both very excited because we do have that stocked pond at Trinity yes. Pines. So one of the activities they plan to do is go fishing every day.
Gabe took his kids
yes,
fishing there.
Gabe's taken his fish, his fish kids in there.
6-foot sturgeon. Isn't that right, Gabe? Something like, yeah, she's 6 feet. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So we've got the pond and we'll you know, taking in the nature around us. That's also, this training is also going to be what we're using for our CIT training for Camp Pendola. So if we have any young people who are juniors or seniors who would like to be CITs at camp, they'll be able to go to this training. We'll be doing some additional training with them while we're there. I will be doing that. And then they'll be able to volunteer
CIT
for a week.
Is counselor and
counselor and training. So they'll be able to volunteer for a week at one of our day camps. And being a CIT does give them a little extra bonus when mm-hmm. they are applying the next
sure,
year to work
sure.
at camp, because I know what they've been trained on already.
And finally.
Yeah.
On Fire.
Yes. Another amazing thing we get to do in person again. I'm so excited. We're going to be at Six Flags once again. And I know, I think last week you had Sister Josephine Garrett.
We did.
She is.
What a story.
Okay, first of all, if you are not following her Twitter, stop what you are doing right now. Pause this and go follow her on Twitter.
Wow.
Because her Twitter is, it is one of the joys of my life right now. She's just very, like, it's a very positive thing on Twitter, which you don't often see. So, no, she's
one of those people just so full of joy.
So full of joy. And I'm super excited for her to be joining us. The rest of the talent, we've got Joe Melendrez coming back once again to MC and to be part of our concert. We have Epic, the band, that are coming out of Florida. And we have a Father Radmar Howe, who is a Jesuit priest. He's the vocation director for the West Coast province mm-hmm. of the Jesuits. So he'll be there to help us with adoration and be our homilist for Mass. We'll have some of our bishops are going to be there as usual. But again, we get to be in person, hanging out with each other
and you're
in an amusement park.
And you're going to integrate the park experience this year.
We sure are. A little bit more than we have in the past. We are going to be able to have everything in Chabot like we've done in the past, mm-hmm. which is Chabot Stadium, which is the one that's right on the water. But we're working with, especially with Joe, to do some fun interactive activities that will be happening throughout the park. We're really trying to use this as outreach and evangelization not just inviting those kids that always come to youth group, but like asking them to each invite a friend to come with them, mm-hmm. Letting them see the joy of our church and what it is to be part of it and part of that community in the amusement park. So getting time to just really, you know, be on the rides and have fun, eat the all you can eat food. It is really truly all you can eat.
Yeah.
It's burgers and hot dogs, but it's all you can eat. And there's also ice cream.
And you're not cooking it.
No way.
Can I come and just have the all you can eat? I don't want to go on the rides.
You sure can. You can.
I'm a little older over the age limit, but
that's okay. We need extra chaperones always. So
I do have teenagers.
There you go. Bring them with you.
Yeah.
We've also got the vocation carnival that will happen again this year. I know that our vocations office will be there for sure, and we're waiting to hear from other vocation offices.
So I imagine vocations carnival, you have like a wheel, you know, you spin the wheel,
spin,
and it says, you're going to St. Patrick's in Menlo Park.
That's correct, yeah. No, it's not like
you're
that
going
at all.
To Mount Angel.
It's literally, we just have a bunch of vocations offices and seminarians and sisters and novitiates that they each have a different carnival game that they are playing. You walk around to get a card punched that you've participated and talk to them. And then you're entered into a raffle.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we haven't decided what the prize is. In the past, it's been things like an iPad or season passes. So we'll figure out what the prize is this year and go for that. But yeah, so it's just it's a carnival. We're not playing a game where you decide which seminary you're attending.
Yeah.
although maybe that's an idea for
that's
the future.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Father Memo about that. it's just going to be a really
Father
fun
Memo
day.
He's a walking advertisement for being a priest because
he
he's
really
so loving, so joyful, so positive, so full of the Lord. I mean,
for sure.
You know.
For sure. And so, you know, having him excited about this, that piece of it was, you know, was always had to be part of it. Because really, you know, this is not any time we have a youth event, we should be encouraging vocation.
Absolutely.
And yes, we're encouraging priestly vocation, but we're encouraging young people to really start thinking about what their vocation is. Is that to married life? Is that to single life? Is that whatever? Is it to becoming a priest? Is it to becoming a religious sister? Whatever that is for them, start thinking about it as soon, like young. It shouldn't be something that like they get into college and then all of a sudden.
Vocations can encompass holiness.
They all should.
They all should.
I mean, your marriage encompasses
Absolutely.
Holiness. Your singleness encompasses that. Like all of these phases in our life, all these vocational calls in our life, they all lead us to something different, but they all are leading us to God, and they're all leading us to that holiness that we are all called to be.
Exactly.
So
now this is the last Saturday in September the 25th.
No, it is the 18th.
Oh, you moved it up.
It's 18th. You're
thinking of ministry days.
We'll talk about
that
later.
That's the 25th.
Yes, ministry days is the 25th.
24th and 25th.
Yeah, 24th and 25th. This is on September 18th.
Saturday.
All of the information can be found at onfirenorcal.com. And it will run from 9 a.m. until 8:30 p.m.
Wow.
It's a long day. We have shortened it a little bit by half an hour, only because of the park hours. So chaperones, you're welcome. You get to leave a little
earlier. You get there on your own. I mean, you can carpool.
You can carpool to, you know, some parishes and we'll do buses, whatever. But yeah, you get there on your own and then, you know, you can buy tickets as a group. We do recommend buying tickets as a group because there is a processing fee for the tickets that you have to purchase online. Yeah. And the tickets should be going on sale within the next couple weeks. Just waiting for Six Flags to put up the link.
If you go on one of the really scary rides, is there a priest available for confession before?
Probably.
Last rites.
Yes, there will be priests available. We will have priests available for confession. I mean, last rites might be a little extreme, but you know, whatever you feel comfortable with. But Bob, come on.
I've driven by that park a lot of times. My kids have been there. I don't dare.
There's a lot of screaming on the rides. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's good. It's because if you scream, you release that, like, that nervous energy.
Especially when you're upside down and going 90 miles an hour.
That too, yeah.
Toward the ground.
The rides are safe.
I know they're safe. So why are people screaming?
It just releases the tension, the scaredness.
People love them.
Have.
I don't know what it is. They love them.
Yeah, people either love roller coasters or can't take them at all. And it's really extreme of both of one of
I
the
remember
two.
The State Fair used to have one called the Mad Mouse. It wasn't that big of a roller coaster, but it would bang you, and you'd get off of that thing, and you cracked a vertebra.
Yeah, I don't think they have a ride like that at Six Flags.
No. They're way past that now.
No, really. They really are. But you might see a dolphin at Six Flags and penguins for sure, which they're really cute. So
penguins are really cute.
They really are.
I don't even think that. Penguins are one of those things. It's like a unicorn. Is it real? Is a penguin real? I mean, who's really ever seen a penguin?
Well, I have at Six Flags.
At Six Flags, yeah. Do they have ice for them and everything?
They have rocks that are painted like ice.
Of course, Vallejo doesn't get that hot.
No, it doesn't. Some days, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But everywhere.
Well, Jennifer, always a pleasure.
Thank you,
Bob. Sounds like you've got it. I mean, we're in June.
We are.
You better have stuff planned.
I do.
This is great. I want to hear all about those the day camps. I'm fascinated with that.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Do you know the redwood trees in the Arboretum?
Uh-huh.
2 years ago, this was the story in Davis.
Oh, no.
There was a cub bear up the redwood tree.
That doesn't surprise me.
How did it get there? It's like they think it was going to the Black Bear Diner.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and they tranquilized it, and the thing fell to the ground into a net. But and they took it up by Williams and released it out into the woods. Yeah.
That's a good plan.
And the
bears belong in the woods.
The spokesman for the campus who released all the information, his name was Andy Fell. So it was one of those stories you just couldn't make up. So maybe you'll get lucky and
maybe
see
we'll
a cub
get lucky
in the arboretum.
Maybe
Jennifer. God's blessings to you and everything that you're going to do this summer.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2000. 2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, this is Brian Visitation, Director of Media and Communications for the Diocese of Sacramento. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Brian, for the wonderful introduction. Appreciate that. And thanks for all you do here as Communications Director for the Diocese of Sacramento. A big job indeed. Well, we are pleased and honored to welcome in Jimmy Lago, who is the Chairman of the Board of Catholic Charities for Yolo and Solano. Jimmy, good day to you.
Pleasure being here, Bob. Thank you for the invitation.
Hey, good to have you with us. First, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been involved in Catholic Charities for some time.
Well, my wife and I retired here to California about 6 years ago, and we're loving the valley, I have to say. And we came from Chicago, where I worked for the Catholic Archdiocese for many years, including several years as the executive director of Catholic Charities. So my first question when I moved out here was, okay, where's the Catholic Charities Agency and how can I get involved?
Mm-hmm.
So it was fortunate because right about that time the bishop was looking to expand the footprint into Yolo for Catholic Charities, and he had a very challenging agenda for us, and that's what we've been working on for 6 years.
Wow. So in Illinois, was it Catholic Charities within a diocese within the Chicago area? Was it statewide?
Catholic Charities in Illinois has six Catholic dioceses, and mm-hmm. the one that I worked for was the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago.
Right.
But it encompassed the whole city. It was, as you can imagine, doesn't mean it's better or worse, but you can imagine it was a pretty huge operation.
My goodness. Was Cardinal George there then, or?
Cardinal Bernardine.
Wow.
His predecessor appointed me, and
right.
then he passed away, and Cardinal George, yes, he was the archbishop there for all of the years that I was, because I then became the chancellor of the diocese after my years with Catholic Charities.
And Cardinal Bernardine, the author of The Seamless Garment.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
And a wonderful man.
A good man, yeah. I didn't know him personally at all. I would love to sit down with you sometime and talk about him and Cardinal George, two great churchmen, for sure. So you settled in California. How did you pick the Diocese of Sacramento?
Well, and I might add to the list of wonderful bishops so far, Bishop Soto, whom I've come to know a little bit, and it's been great, just a few things that I've done with him and for him. But Sacramento was in Woodland is where we live,
mm-hmm.
about 20 miles west
right.
here on I-5. But my wife, I had a good close friend in Chicago who was a fellow teacher of hers. She moved out here. And so, you know, teachers take some summer breaks and spring breaks. And so she used to come out and visit from time to time. And when we both retired, then it was, why don't we look out here? So it's different, I have to say. Chicago's a town that goes 24 hours a day, seven days a week.
Yes.
And everything in between. But as I say, we're liking it here, and whenever we need to get wild, we can go into Sacramento or San Francisco or whatever.
Yeah, Woodland and Davis, they go 10, 12 hours a day.
I'll take that.
Yeah. And that's it. That's what they used to say that about Davis, too, before the university really exploded in growth, that, you know, that they close the sidewalks at 5 p.m. and they arrest you if you're out, you know. But it's changed with all those students. But Woodland, a wonderful community, and Holy Rosary Parish there. And and so much history, especially in the city of Woodland, and some of those beautiful old Victorian homes.
We're celebrating, believe it or not, Holy Rosary, 150 years past year. And because of the COVID, we had to defer the time for our celebration. But in October of this year, we'll have the bishop will be out, and it'll be a full-blown anniversary celebrating all of the wonderful things that this church and its people have contributed to the public good here. And when you look at the history of this church, this city, this town, you'll see what a tremendous impact it's made through its church and its churches.
That and Holy Rosary, what started as Holy Rosary Academy, the school, the elementary school there now. Charles Schwab went through that school, and my wife and I got married in that church. So
I'll be darned.
We will have to come to that 150th anniversary. I know
it's going to be a wonderful time, and we've written a new history to bring it up to date, and we've got a lot of good things that have been happening. I myself went through the archives here in Yolo County just to see what was in there, and I spent a day in there just mesmerized by some of the photos that go back years. And so we'll have those on display. And, of course, the old school burned in the 1950s.
Right.
And so the new school and the new community center have been around for a dozen years or so. But vibrant concern.
Yes, indeed. So talk about Yolo County. Why is Catholic Charities really, you know, putting the pedal to the metal in Yolo County?
Well, I think the needs that we've seen here across I-80, which is an artificial boundary from Solano and elsewhere. There's a charities up north, Northern Valley, and there's one in the city of Sacramento.
Right.
But I think what we've seen is, Yolo being a county seat, the number of homeless, the need for meals, food and nutrition, the many, attempts by some of the brothers and sisters here who try to provide service to try to, get folks connected up to resources they may need. And I think the bishop saw this through, the testimony of his pastors here, and it just took a little while for us to kind of get going. But, we've got immigration services that are wonderful. Mm-hmm. We've also got food and nutrition. We've got a food bank here, counseling classes, teaching life-changing skills to folks at a time when they're most vulnerable. And this COVID, of course, has greatly increased the needs, one or two people losing their job. So what we've been trying to do here is to view the diocese in a much more holistic way, especially Solano and Yolo County together, and we just received a tremendously significant grant from the state to do renter's assistance and those kinds of things, so that folks do not get kicked out of their apartments for lack of payment because of the COVID.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do now is to bring some of those services in a more complete way up north here, a little further north. And we've got great court system. We've got wonderful public services. We've got good community leadership. But what we're looking at is to try to reach deep into the holes and the pockets in woodland that nobody else is kind of mm-hmm. going to at the moment. And we found, you know, quite a bit of need here. We go up to a nice landing as well. And so.
Yeah, and you know the county, you know, very diverse. People think of it as an agricultural county, of course, and it's hugely agricultural. But you've got urban areas like West Sacramento and Davis, Winters, Woodland, and but then you go up, you know, Knight's Landing and Dunnigan, and then up the Cape Hay through Gwinda and Sparta and all those places. We have a number of migrant camps still.
Yep.
It has a history of agriculture and all the good and all the bad that has gone with that.
Right. And, you know, the challenge here, I think, is to try to connect folks up. If, you know, we get a call or people alert us to the fact that there's a family in need or one of those kind of situations, is to try to find the best way to connect up the folks either directly to a, you know, to a resource, or indirectly through another, you know, contact where they can provide the services. So we don't have to do everything, but I think what we need to do is to make sure that there's not a lot of holes in this, what they used to call at least the safety net, because, you know, really folks rely on it, and Holy Rosary is the only Catholic church here in this, in Woodland.
Right.
There's St. Paul's up in Knight's Landing, but, you know, they've just merged together with another parish, and so our parish is going to take on the burden of providing more services up to Knight's Landing. So it's a challenge, you know, with it, even within the clergy here, to kind of, you know, with the liturgical side of outreach, to make sure people's needs are met. So
yeah, and St. Paul's used to be have the mission over in Zamora at St. Agnes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that will be. They'll be merged now with St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting story in the history about the early days before they built the levee from around Knight's Landing, whatever, a family getting in the boat. And because of the floods that were occurring back then, and actually spending all night rowing down to Woodland to a higher ground, and the church became a safe haven at the time.
Yeah, you know, I can't even imagine Knight's Landing without a levee. You know, it's like that river is ever present
right there.
Yeah.
It's just at the edge of town. And
yep. You cross that little bridge, and you're no longer in Yolo County.
Right.
Wow.
Well, we've got, you know, we've got the challenge. We've got, we're having some successes raising money, Bob, and I think... you know, with a good prayerful approach here as well, I think what we're finding is, you know, we're finding some successes in trying to, in our outreach, and trying to, you know, reach out with some of the local community partners who have been here much longer than we have, but don't do exactly the kinds of things that we do, whether it's, you know, the food bank, which has been here for a while, or some of the other things. There's a Saint, there used to be a St. Vincent de Paul here, now they're doing mostly... you know, food and clothing and whatever. So you just got to find out, you know, what they do. And as the bishop said, don't duplicate everything, but trying to find out where the missing pieces are.
Indeed, indeed. Well, it's a big challenge. It's a big county. And you combine that with Solano. You're a little more established in Solano County, I guess would be the word.
Well, that's kind of where it started 70 years ago. And so that's, you know, kind of that's what folks talk about. But I got to tell you, the, you know, the Yolo is a vibrant county as well.
Yes. Yep.
And with a long history. And because it's been not attended to as well as it should, I think the need grows there.
Yep.
Without being completely satisfied. So I think the bishop showed a lot of wisdom in trying to connect us up in both solely as Yolo County, but also in partnership with Solano County.
Indeed. And we forgot one little part of the county, which I always forget, the Clarksburg area.
The Clarksburg, right, the most southern part of the...
Yeah, it just kind of, a little finger goes down the river there, you know. And you kind of forget about it, and but it's very much a vibrant and very historic part of the county as well.
Well, part of the plan here, and I think we're still trying to get it going, is to reach out to all of the individual pastors and to kind of get a much better blueprint of what the needs are and the structure of their you know, populations are down in each parish.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly one that we're focused at that toward that end, as well as the northern end of, you know, Dixon Town and,
right,
you know, that's not really in Yolo County.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's a big job, but just in a couple of minutes, we'll be able to talk about that housing grant in Solano County.
Well, it's extraordinarily important. It's the second one we've got. We've got a lot of community support. When the grant first came out, Solano trusted us to kind of re-up again after doing some serious due diligence. It's basically to safeguard, you know, folks who are housed at the moment in rental housing for both the landlords and the renters, so that we can grant money there, both for rent that's in arrears as well as rent that's coming due and there's no way to pay for it. So it's a $13 million grant, and we're working with the community partners, the Children's Network, I think it's called, down there, and others to find sites to partner up. We're working with some of the bilingual radio stations to so that folks understand what's available and they can get a good, you know, good communication picture of how they do this, how they can apply, where they can go. And so those are being broadcast even as we speak, and there's a website that's available through Catholic Charities of Yolo and Solano where, you know, they can fill out the forms, pass them in. But we've gotten almost 2,000 applications already, and it's only been, you know, a couple of few weeks.
Wow.
So the need is great.
Do you have the resources from this grant to service as many as 2,000 people?
Yes, we do, and so you know, the grant, we'll use it till it's spent. There are some, I think, reputable rumors that there'll be another one following up down the road, another program following up down the road a piece. I have no direct confirmation of that, but and what the important thing is that some of those rentals, which were pretty high in terms of the arrearages, get, you know, they'll get taken care of. So it's not like you got a, you know, once you get a 1 month grant, then you got the whole debt structure to deal with. This will be a way of taking care of it, and hopefully we can get the resources or connect folks up with resources for other needs that they may have at the time, because we got food, food and nutrition programs. So some of the things that go along with near homelessness, you know, need to be cared for as well. And
amen.
So,
amen. Well, Jimmy, thanks for all you do, and thanks for joining us. I hope we can get you on the program a little more regularly and continue to learn all about Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano.
Well, as I'm snoozing there in my backyard on a, you know, lazy afternoon, feel free to call.
We will. I
look forward to it. And listen, I understand that Mr. Dunning here, you're the man in these areas, and I look forward to working with you. I think communication is one of the most critical needs that we have, both in terms of finding out what's going on, but also correcting wrong, and also, you know, finding the truth. So we'll pray with you and hope for the successes as we move forward.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jimmy, God bless you. God bless everybody involved in this, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing again really soon.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thanks so much. That's Jimmy Lago, who is the chairman of the board of the Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano. This is a letter to the faithful on new protocols for worship and ministry. This is what we have been waiting for. This is from our bishop, Bishop Jaime Soto. Dear friends in Christ, he writes, starting Friday, June 18, 2021, pastors may accommodate the faithful for the celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass, as well as other sacramental and worship services. You want to guess at the percentage? 25%, 50%, 80%, 75%, 90%? At 100% of the seating capacity in the parish churches. 100%. It finally happened. I am rescinding the general dispensation from the obligation to attend Sunday Mass. Starting Sunday, June 20, all the Catholic faithful in the Diocese of Sacramento are obliged to personally attend and actively participate in the Sunday celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass. That's Canon 1247. Pastors and the faithful are counseled that individuals are not obligated to attend the Eucharist on Sunday or other obligatory solemnities if they are sick, have a vulnerable health condition, are caring for someone with a vulnerable health condition, or have other serious reasons. Canon 1245 from the Catechism of the Catholic, or Canon 1245, and then also Section 2181 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The bishop goes on to say, all the faithful are reminded of the perennial obligation to keep holy the Lord's Day by observing Sunday with prayer, spiritual reflection, works of mercy, fellowship, and rest. Pastors and the faithful should continue to observe sensible public health precautions, practice frequent hand washing and use of hand sanitizer, refrain from handshaking and other forms of physical contact with others outside of one's household, continue to clean the pews at least twice on Sundays and other days when there are multiple services. Facial masks are still encouraged. Priests, deacons, and extraordinary ministers should continue to use facial masks for the distribution of Holy Communion. During the distribution of communion, priests, deacons, and extraordinary ministers should have sanitizer available for use when needed. For communion, the distribution of the cup is still suspended. The exchange of the sign of peace during Mass may resume. The faithful should refrain from gestures of physical touching with persons outside of one's household. A respectful bow or wave is encouraged. Congregational singing may resume. Musicians and choirs should observe sensible public health precautions. Pastors should use their discretion based on local circumstances regarding the use of facial masks by musicians, cantors, and choirs. These are the words of Bishop Soto. Liturgical processions may resume. Entrance procession, the gospel procession, the procession of the offertory gifts, and the recessional procession. It is recommended that the collection baskets be handled only by the ushers rather than passed from person to person. Holy water may be made available to the faithful in the traditional fonts at the entrance of the church. Live streaming the Sunday celebrations of the sacrifice of the Mass for the benefit of those who cannot attend in person due to illness or other circumstances noted above is encouraged. All the faithful are encouraged to receive the COVID-19 vaccination when available. Consult with your doctor regarding any personal health concerns. Other ministerial, catechetical, and social gatherings may resume while also observing sensible public health precautions as outlined above. Pastors should take additional precautions for the handling of food and the provision of materials to avoid the use of shared utensils. Avoiding self-serve options for food and drink is encouraged. The return to regular congregational gatherings will be welcomed by many. Mutual respect, charity, and patience should be cheerfully exercised so that all the members of the body of Christ are welcomed and encouraged by this blessed opportunity. Over the course of the long pandemic journey, we have learned the personal duty we have for one another's spiritual and physical health whenever we gather and even when we are apart. The risks of infection still threaten us. Our communion with the charity and mercy of Christ will help safeguard us and lead us on the path of holiness together. Bishop Soto concludes, may the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse, bring an end to the pandemic and fill us with the joy and hope of the Lord Jesus. Respectfully, Bishop Jaime Soto. So there you have it. Oh, we can be back in church. Worship services at 100% of capacity. And the obligation, I like to call it an opportunity, the obligation to attend Sunday Mass, which we all grew up with, or if we converted with, will begin starting Sunday, June the 20th, here in our beautiful Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just.
gently to my knees, and I am